verses 1 through 6. And I want you to read it, but I want you to feel it in your spirit what the songwriter is saying. Verse 1 says, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemies will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall." Verse 5. "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." I want to talk from this thought this morning. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change is going to come. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change is going to come. The song was recorded in 1946. Sam Cooke had been singing popular music to all kinds of people. He had crossed over from being a black artist to being an artist. He was popular, y'all. He was known by everybody. He could sing in clubs that his people couldn't even get in.
Yeah.
After a conversation with some friends of his in a hotel room, got to watch the movie if you want to know what that's all about, they informed him that he was missing the point. Historians have recorded that he sat down and said that he wanted to write something for his people. And in one sitting, he wrote a song that speaks to the struggle of most of us from 1964 all the way over to 2021. It's one of the highest hits of his life, but he was never alive long enough to see it hit. We find this writer in this song penning these words at a moment in life that most Christians say never happened. He's not frustrated with his haters. He's fine with them. He's not frustrated with his enemies. He know that they exist. He got foes. He ain't worried about them either. He starts off by being transparent with the audience and say, "God, we got a problem." Yeah, I know. I'm the preacher. I'm not supposed to talk about when we have problems with God, but some of us have had frustrations.
Yeah. Come on now.
The first three words of this text is what really blessed me, because it's where most of us hang our hat at most of the time. How long, Lord?
How long?
Will I have to deal with what I'm dealing with, go through what I'm going through? How long will I have to be an ever-rolling wheel? How long will your life keep me going in circles? How long will I have to struggle with the issues of life? How long will I have to be depleted of energy, time, and talent? How long will, Lord, how long? See, I know you don't want to hear that when you're taught
that you have to confess your gratitude for God and tell him how good he is. But I would argue that most of us cannot all of the time express gratitude because some of us have some grumbles.
I told you I didn't have a sermon today because everybody's been taught that you're supposed to wave your hands all of the time. You're supposed to clap all of the time. You're supposed to tell God thank you all of the time. But what do you do when your hand is up and your heart is still heavy? How long?
They said coming to church it would be better, and I still got bank account issues. How long? I would argue that you hadn't really walked with God till you had some frustrations. Oh, no, you ain't really been in love until you had to fight and stay at home. Y'all don't want to talk to me today. No, I understand puppy love, but I'm talking about you had a good knockdown drag out in the car and had to get out and act like nothing just happened. No. You was all kinds of names in the car, but then you got out at somebody else's house because y'all was driving somewhere. And if you had that relationship happen with you and your physical person, why don't you think that you're going to have to go through some stuff with God? No, Saturday was hectic. And Sunday still came. I will bless him at all times. It's good in the good times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. It's good when it's in good times. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. I got that. The humble shall hear they ever be glad. They should, because he's a good God.
Yeah.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Hold on, wait a minute. Don't make him big yet, because we got some stuff to figure out. All right. Y'all don't want to talk to me. See, God is good, but all the time I don't know if it's good for me. How long? Y'all, the writer says some stuff in this text that's so amazing because he does not question the ability of God. Doesn't say God can't help him. Because in verse 1 he says, the first one of the psalm, he says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me? He didn't say you can't help me, but you don't even remember I'm here. You know I'm here. I didn't say you're not all powerful, all knowing, all present. I'm just saying you forgot about little old. See, good times puff you up. Make you feel like you got something going on. Your back gets straight. But see, bad times make you feel small. Make you feel forgotten. You don't know if they're thinking about you, if they're talking about you. Nobody's worried about little old. Little old me. Anybody had some issues that's been going on for so long? You don't know what's, it's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
He said he was coming. He said he would fix it. It's been a long time. We heard the seasoned saints sing it all the time. That I've been walking for him and I'm not tired yet. I don't know what they had on their feet, but I've been tired. I've been weary. I've been frustrated. And because of the false philosophy that I was given, I thought I missed the train. And I fooled around and said I wanted Grandma God. Because this one I got. I must have grabbed the wrong one. She said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. And I felt left and forsook. I was forgotten. It's been a long time coming. Three things. I'm going to get out of here. I told y'all I wasn't going to be long. The first thing you have in this text is the laments of the lost. The laments of the lost. What is that? That's you discussing your frustrations.
and being honest about it. I love transparency because I feel like that's the only time God can quickly get to you and fix your issue. Through your transparency. Because it's, see, we want to dress up, come up, and act like we always had it together. I ain't always. No, I ain't always had a suit, but it ain't always had a good person in it. No, I learned to fake it till I make it. So I could look like I had it before I had it, so when I got it, it wouldn't be new to me. But the laments of a loss, hey, the children's song, it's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing. I know my voice sounds familiar, so let me clarify who me is. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. Sam Cooke said, I was born by the laments of a lost person, by the river, in a little tent. Oh, just like the river, I've been running ever since. See, I would argue that some of us stayed in issues longer than we should have because we refused to be real with God. Where you at? I've been running. Ever since. You can't speak faith until you've been real about your situation. Mark, one of my favorite verses in the Bible to preach, Mark 5:25 says that there was a certain woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years. That's transparency. We first time we hear about a male, the first time we hear, we talking about what's wrong with them. Because most of us have let our issues define. The laments of the loss is that you defined yourself by the issues, the circumstances, the things that you've gone through, the trials and tribulations. This is who I am. Take it. Or leave it. Or you've put up such a facade that when God comes to save you, he don't know where you at.
My God.
Because I went looking for him. Adam. You're supposed to be walking with me, Adam. Where are you? Adam, the woman you gave me. Because when you're not ready to be ready and be real, your deliverance is delayed. The laments of the lost. Anybody had? I was going through, when I was going through my go-throughs, one of my favorite artists was Drake. Mm-hmm. Drake had you missing the person that left you in the third grade. No, Drake knew how to write a sad song. I don't care what nobody said. He had a song called Marvin Room, which was one of my favorites. And in Marvin Room, he would talk about how he wasn't no good for, but he ain't want nobody else to have her neither. No. Y'all ain't ready for that. Y'all ain't ready for that.
Come on.
The reason I liked it is because he was real with where he was at. Can I tell y'all what I'm sick of? Faking saints.
Right.
If you ain't that no more, at least have a point of reference to help me get out of. You ain't always been where you are. No, you ain't asking no more, but you've asked before. Lord, will you remember me? Not only did he ask for the Lord to remember him, then he said, don't hide your face from me. I can't even see you no more. I just want to spend a little time. I ain't asking for nothing, y'all. See, sometimes you get to a place with God where you go beyond stuff. Oh, let me get two or three people in this place on a Sunday morning that'll say, yeah, I like praise, but worship takes me a little farther. Because praise is for some stuff. Worship is for who he is. Don't hide your face from me. I need you to remember me and bring me some stuff. But if you can't do that, at least let me see you.
Come on, right?
How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? Ooh, that's an inside issue.
Yes.
See, some of us don't fight against people talking about you. It's the enemy.
Yes.
Enemy. Day after day, I have sorrow in my heart because my mind keep wandering. I preached a sermon one time from, I believe it was Philippians, and he says, whatever is right, whatever is true, think on these things. Mm-hmm. And I preached a sermon called, I've Been Thinking by My Thinking. Mm-hmm. And some of us struggle because you ain't thought about what you've been thinking about. I told you I ain't got a sermon this morning. This is all I got. Some of us struggle because the stuff you've been focusing on is all of the stuff that ain't good in your life. And you trying to figure out why ain't nothing got better, but you ain't been focusing on nothing but the stuff that's wrong. So you ain't had time to fix the stuff that's right because you ain't even look in that direction. How long will my enemy triumph over me? The laments of the lost. Bobby Womack said, I've been down so long, getting up never crossed. Never crossed my mind. The laments of the lost. Because you have the ability to shape your reality. Some of us, life seems good to you from other people's perspective. You doing good. You don't know what I got.
My God.
Really going on.
Yeah.
It's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
But a change is gonna come. The laments of the lost. Second thing is the longing of the lonely. Verse 3 and 4 says it like this: look on me and answer. Lord, my God, give light to my eyes and I will sleep, or I will sleep in death. Just come back to me. See, the worst thing about the relationship with God that we have to struggle with is that, watch this, y'all, not that you've never had it, but then you start longing for what you used to have. The historically in the scripture, it talks about how the disciples went to the upper room in Acts 2. The Holy Spirit fell, fire tongues. They start speaking in unknown languages. Peter comes out, preaches 5,000, 3,000 souls are saved. And then they go through all these great things. And then they gather back in the upper room and try to redo it. He ain't there no more. Most of us struggle because you keep showing up to where he was, trying to recreate what you had as an experience. And he says, I'm doing a new thing. And the longing of the lonely always tries to go back and recreate what had happened the first time. But the truth of the matter is, once you're filled, you don't need to be filled again. You just need to get up and keep going. Y'all need to get up. I need to get to you today. He's the longing of the lonely. Sam Cooke said it like this. I tried to keep with the song. Sam Cooke said it like this. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. So I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. That's a bad spot to be. Friend of mine, her husband had been sick for about 10 years, and he had been really ill for like the last 3, and her husband died. He died, y'all. And she had spent the last 3 years caring for him day in and day out. And my pastor was charged with preaching the funeral. And I asked him, what you gonna preach? Not because I didn't think he was capable of preaching well, but as a preacher, I wanted to know, what do you say at a time like this? He got behind the pulpit. He read the text that had been read many times, that absent from the body is present with the Lord. I said, okay, I got you. God, I'm with you. That's a good one. What you gonna call this? He said, mixed emotions.
Yeah.
I said, this guy is a preacher. Because most of us live our life with mixed
emotions.
What's your mixed emotion? It's been too hard living. But I'm afraid to die. In living, I got trials and tribulations. In death, I got the great unknown. I'm afraid to die. I know the writer says about his enemies and his foes, and I get all of that. But anybody besides me that been through enough stuff that the haters and the enemies and the foes and the tactics and all of that, they don't even matter at some point in your life, because you got some stuff that you're dealing with that your haters can't even punch that far.
Right?
It's been too. See, it's easy when other people beat up on you because it's physical pain. They taught us this saying as children. It was the biggest lie they could have ever told us. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. I am not in therapy today behind a stick or a stone. It was the words that you carried with you that didn't break a bone. They didn't hurt your eye. They didn't heal over time. It was the words that you carried when somebody told you you wasn't going to be nothing, told you you wasn't going to turn out to be nothing, told you that your mistakes was going to define you. It was the words that you carried that made you worry about the enemies and foes. And the problem is that you get hit by them and it just reminds you that I deserve it because of the word. You communicate your frustrations and you longing for the one person that ain't answering.
My God.
You've called everybody and they pick up the phone. Everybody. See, most of us live between two cruxes. Where we want to be and where we used to be.
Come on.
Because nobody really sees you where you at.
Yeah.
That would just be too good. So you got the people that look at you and they see better for you. And then you got the people that they look at you and see where they met you at.
Yeah.
And be a little transparent. Y'all work with me, pray for me. Somebody else will be preaching that Sunday. You ever call somebody, trying to clean it up in my head, because y'all might go down. You ever call somebody when you weren't in your right mind, late at night, after you had all indulged in spiritual activities with the spirits, and the spirit has taken over you, and they didn't answer the phone? And the next morning, yes. And then they call you the next morning after the spirit has left the atmosphere. And they try to talk to you about spiritual things. And you have to tell them, I'm not of the spirit anymore. Because some people only can attach themselves to you when you're in a mindset and a mode that's familiar and comfortable. And you wonder why you didn't save that number. Why I didn't delete it. Because maybe one day I needed the longing for the lonely. Can I press it a little bit? Because some of us have been so lonely that we've done stuff for free that we said we wouldn't do for $1 million. We've shared our mind, body, and soul for moments of passion and intimacy, hoping you stay up long enough so I can clear my heart. I give myself away. And we said it Tuesday night. My friends keep telling me, all you do is use me. The problem is, it's not God that we let use us. We set boundaries with him. But when the devil shows up, we tell him, just keep on using me.
Till you use me.
The longing for the lonely. Why did you do that? I don't know. You ever had something and somebody just put you in a box and just... You got me going in circles. Rolling around and around till I stop. Why? Because I just want you to touch me. I'm longing. I want it. Just touch me. Hold me. Why did you deal with them when they answered the phone? And it's always the people that challenge you that you look up to and you're trying to figure out, God, where was you?
Yeah.
I joined the church. I came. I did what you told me to do. And now I'm here and I'm still looking.
Yeah. My God.
I understand Drake making me miss somebody, but why I came to church and for Sean Mitchell talking about he searched all over.
Yeah.
I'm still here looking. I got more bills than paycheck. Right. More month than money. All right. I've given up on my ends meeting. I just want them to get close enough to each other and wave.
Yeah.
I'm sick of having to figure out where I'm going because I ain't got enough gas to go everywhere.
Mama.
I've been longing for your presence. Byron Cage said it, but I ain't always felt it. The presence of the Lord is here. Well, hey, I need him. Can you? Yeah. Well, the real Slim Shady, please stand up. I got to get out of here. The laments of the lost, the longing of the lonely. Last but not least, I'm through. You have the letting go of the lover. It's been times that I thought I couldn't last for long, but now I'm able. I'm able to carry on. Y'all, it's been a long time coming, but I know a change is gonna come. Because what I've learned in my life is after you finish longing for God, after you finish confessing what you got to confess, you got to get to the point where you learn to let go and let God.
Yeah.
It's some weight you need to learn how to do it. One of my favorite songs was sung by a church on the north side of Houston, I believe in Lubbock somewhere. They said, I've been altered at the altar. And some of us have gotten to the point, like the songwriter said, he says, but you know what? But I trust in your unfailing love. I don't care what my situation is. I don't care what I'm looking at. I don't care. I've learned how to let go. Some of us need to get that saying that I've been saying for the last 2 or 3 years. Not my circles. Not my monkeys. When somebody bring their problems and their issues and their complaints to you, it ain't my issues. It ain't my. You know what? I had to tell somebody yesterday that was trying to explain to me about a bill that they thought I owed. They told me that something went wrong, and I had to explain to them, it might not be your fault, but it sure ain't mine. Y'all don't want to hear me today. God, if it's your vision, I need you to have provision. And see, what you have to learn to do after you complain, after you had,
your share of ups and downs, after you had your stuff and you had your trials and your tribulations, you got to learn how to profess your praise. No, I'm not talking about planned praise. I'm not talking about desired praise. I'm not talking about feel-like-it praise. I'm talking about in and out-of-season praise. I'm talking about praising when you feel like it and praising when you don't. You got to learn how to shout to God with a voice of triumph and just shout out and say, I don't know what's going to happen, but a change is going to come. Kira, what's the day that's going to come? I don't know, but I know it's going to come. How you know? Because he loves me. How you know? Because he talks to me. How do you know? Because he rocks me in the middle of the night. And guess what? I'm learning to trust him. I'm trusting him more for the next 4 months of this year than I did for him to do with the last 8. I'm learning to trust him when my children are crazy, when my family is going crazy, when my job gets funny. I'm learning to trust him. I'm trusting him because greater is coming. I say it's on the way. One of my favorite TV shows was Game of Thrones. And for the first about 6 or 7 seasons, they always said, winter is coming. And every time they looked up, winter is coming. Winter is coming. And you see, they knew that it was coming because it had came before. They didn't see it. They didn't know when it was coming. But they knew it was on the way. And guess what? I need 2 or 3 people that will shout with a voice of triumph and say, greater is coming. I don't know when it's coming. I don't know where it's coming. I don't know when it's showing up. But it's on the way. It's on the way. I know it's coming because I need it. Because I've desired it. I've looked for it. I need greater. I demand greater. I know that he's going to make a way out of no way. Why? Because it's too hard living and I'm afraid to die. But I know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming. But I know. See, I need 2 or 3 people that hang their hat on this one right there. I'm tired of guessing. I'm tired of figuring out. I'm tired of all of the other stuff. I just came to say, but I know. I know Romans 8:18 says, for I reckon that the present time, the present suffering is not worthy to be compared with us. And I've had enough Romans 8:18 in my life that I'm sick of reckoning. I'm sick of considering. I'm sick of wondering. I'm ready to get to 8:28. For we know. I'm sick of questioning stuff and trying to worry about stuff. I'm got to get ready for some stuff that I know gonna work out. I know some stuff gonna change. For we know the good and the bad, all of it's gonna work together for the good of him who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. If I've been called, I can raise my hand. If I've been called, I can lift my voice. If I've been called, I can tell him, ain't no need to worry, it all be over.
Awesome word. Awesome word. Awesome. I'm enjoying this series.